All right, and once again, as previously stated, we are excited to have Sister Miriam Lopez, who is going to be speaking with us today. Sister Miriam is a woman of many talents, and she wears many hats, church. She helps all the way from helping in the office with music, praise, singing, and she's also very, very creative. Many people may not know this, but she's very creative, very talented in this area. As a matter of fact, she even helped to protect our pastor in recent weeks by making a special mask for him. And I know she did that for several other people. So she's very, very creative. And we're excited because I believe she's going to share another talent that she has with us en el siguiente momento. Hermana Miriam, háblenos.
Sí, buenos días, hermano.
She said, good morning, brother.
Buenos días, iglesia.
Good morning, church.
Nomás quería introducirme un poquito. No soy tan talentosa como el hermano dice.
I'm not so talented as Brother Vic says, but she is, folks.
Pero le doy gracias a Dios por los talentos que me dio.
But I thank God for the talents that he's given me.
Los, si son talentos para usar en la iglesia o talentos para usar en lo regular.
Whether the talents to be used in the church or talents to be used in the natural world.
Pero estoy agradecida por esos talentos.
But I'm thankful for all the talents God has given me and given us.
Voy a continuar en inglés.
I'm going to now continue in English.
Good morning, church. And I just wanted to, I'm really, really nervous. I'm also grateful you guys can't see my face because most of you know I will probably be as red as a tomato because that's just me. But I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be alive in this time. I know it sounds kind of weird. I have all these notes, and I have really scattered thoughts last night, but I've had this thought for the last, I just checked how long we've been on quarantine now, and we officially went on quarantine March 15th, I think, here in Ontario, and I've had a thought from basically from the beginning of the quarantine, and I hope I can express this to you in a good way, and I can explain it clearly, but I hope it'll bless somebody or help somebody. I don't know. It has helped me. It has given me peace, and not that I haven't had fears and not that I haven't had times where I'm scared of the future. But maybe God gave me this for me, but or maybe he's gonna allow me to share it so that it will bless somebody else. But my thought, I was thinking of being a chosen generation and being chosen to be working in this generation, to be alive in the year 2020 during the middle of a pandemic or, you know, and in this difficult times, people are suffering, people are depressed, people are sad, people are having a hard time being home alone, and there's all kinds of different emotions that go into being home and not being able to be around other people. I think there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm good, I can be by myself, I'm an introvert, and I can handle being alone. But I think you can only handle so much without human interaction. And we can take it one way or another. And I guess this is what I was thinking about when it comes to this. I was thinking of how you can take everything that's happening and just fall. Just fall and don't get up. Or you can take this as a calling from God and choose to believe that God chose you, you in particular, for this generation, to reach the lost of this generation. Peter was called to be alive during his generation and to preach that great message that he preached during Acts. And you know, Samuel was called when he was a child, and he was the one that anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. But he was called for his generation. And I just can't get away from this, church. I can't get away from this, how God has chosen us to be part of this generation. How God has taken us to live in this year, to live in this particular place and time. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This scripture just kept going in my head, and then I kept thinking of Esther. Esther was, she had a hard life. She was, she lost her parents when she was young, which is never easy for any child, but she was raised by her uncle, who happened to work in the court of King Ahasuerus, where he was able to learn that this other man, Haman, wanted to kill the Jews. And we all know the story. And Esther chapter 4 is where Mordecai basically brings it up to Esther and says, "Esther, you need to approach the king and plead for your people. It is your job, because you have been placed there, to approach the king and to plead for us." And she at first is scared. Church, this was her calling. She might have not realized it at first, but this was her calling. Her calling was to be there, to approach the king, and to plead for her people. This whole time, I just have not been able to get away from that. She had a fear. There was things, rules that were put in place for her to approach the king. If the king had not called her, she could not approach her, because she risked being killed. She risked being put to death. And it amazes me that at first she's like, "No, I can't do it." But then Mordecai tells her, "Look, you can do this right now. Rise up for your people. Go before the king and plead, or don't do it. That's fine, don't do it. But just know that if you don't do it, God will rise someone else. God will get someone else to plead for his people. That salvation will rise for the Jews from someone else, but someone will step in and someone will follow that call." We don't have those rules right now. And we can approach God, our King, and plead for this generation and plead for the people of this time. And I'm telling you, this has been in my heart, and I just can't get away. Esther eventually ends up telling them, you know, "Get the Jews together, fast and pray for me, and I will approach the king." And we all know the story. She went ahead and she went before the king, and as everything was able to work out, where because of her, she served her generation, and because of her, this generation of Jews were not decimated. God's people were able to be saved because of her. And I feel like as a church, we are the church of this generation. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter if you're old, if you're young. The Bible has countless examples of people that were used, old and new, men and women, and they were called for their generation, and they chose to answer the call, and they chose to say, "Here I am, God, use me. I will answer the call." Whether your call is to preach the word of God or to lay on your face and travail for the generation of this time, we need to answer the call. We need to be able to approach the king. to approach the King. He's calling his church. This is our time. And I just, this has been, I'm telling you, this has been in my heart, and I just can't get away. In Genesis 22:1, Abraham answered the call to be the father of nations. He told God, "Here I am." In Genesis 31:11, Jacob left Laban, his father-in-law, and began the nation of Israel. He also said, "Here I am." In Genesis 46:2, Jacob again listened to God and moved his family into Egypt and used his son Joseph to save again the people of God, to save that generation. Joseph went through all these trials from the time he was really young to his brothers not understanding his calling, but he followed his calling. He listened to God, and God was able to use him to save a generation. Moses in Exodus 3:4, he heard a calling when God called him, and he went back to Egypt, and he was able again to save a generation. He pulled the people out of Egypt. He pulled God's people out of Egypt. And Samuel, again, talking about Samuel again, he was a young child. In Samuel chapter 3:4, he responded, "Here I am." God called him in the night. He answered the call. How many times has God called us in the night to get up and answer the call and just get up and just fall on your knees and pray for the people for a need? We need to answer this call. I apologize, church. I'm sorry. This really has been heavy in my heart. Isaiah in chapter six, he starts his work and he starts hearing the voice of God and answering God and writing the future and writing all these things that we know about God way back in the Old Testament, things that were about to happen in the future, all these things about our Lord Jesus. In Acts 9, chapter 9, verse 10, God uses Ananias to go talk to Paul. Now, mind you, Ananias was terrified of Paul, but this was the time of Paul's conversion, and this is when Paul becomes Saul, and God uses him to reach countless of Gentiles. But because Ananias chose to hear the call of God, and chose, he could have said, "No, God, this man killed so many of our people. He was used to destroy many families." But God had a plan, and God used Ananias, even though Ananias was scared, and he chose to answer the call. And I would like to finish this now. I believe that God has a calling for us. I believe that God has his plans for us. God is good. God is good all the time, and I believe that. And God knows, and God knows where you belong. God, Jeremiah 29:11, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you." God has thoughts for you. And in his thoughts are your callings. And the callings of God are without repentance. And I believe this is our time. I hope that you were able to get something out of this. And I just want to leave you with one thing. This is a quote. It's an anonymous quote. I tried to find who said it, but I couldn't find it. But it says, "You are where God wants you to be at this very moment. Every experience is part of his divine plan. You are church, Truth Church of Ontario. You are living in 2020, and this is where God wants you to be." And that's it. I'm done with the Vic.
Thank you, Sister Miriam. Gracias, hermana Miriam. Again, church, we thank God for the many talents that he has given Sister Miriam. And now we can add some teaching and some preaching to that list of talents. Thank you, Sister Miriam, and thank you for your heartfelt devotion and burden. And church, the Lord has brought us together for a time such as this. What a powerful message and a timely one for our church and for our generation. Again, thank you, Sister Miriam. Church, why don't we just thank God right now for what we've heard and pray that the spirit of this message will get deep into our hearts. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for Sister Miriam. We thank you for blessing her with the many gifts and talents, and thank you for her burden, Lord, for her passion and for her desire that you put in her. Help it, Lord, to spread throughout the rest of the church. Lord, you brought us together for a time such as this. Help us to do a great work for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Thank you again, Sister Miriam. This was powerful. And church, we want to remind you once again to join us at this same conference call line at 7:15 p.m. You can come on a little bit earlier as well, and we will be hearing from Brother Larry Booker this evening. So we look forward to having everyone back on this conference call. May God richly bless you today. Be meditating and praying on what you heard this morning from Sister Miriam. It was powerful. All right, everyone, God bless you all. Amen.